from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. 10th World Water Forum formulates priorities in four regions. Indonesia discusses coconut export ban with Russia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the 10th World Water Forum has formulated priorities in four regions, namely Asia-Pacific, Mediterranean, Americas, and Africa. Each of the regional coordinators met to discuss and identify priority steps related to the water crisis at the local and regional levels. President of the World Water Council's WWC, Loic Fosong, in Badung, Bali, Thursday said the spirit of collaboration not only strengthened the foundation for the future of sustainable water management, but also plays a crucial role from each region. In the session, each of the four regional coordinators shared the results of the year's discussion and disseminated real ideas in addressing regional water challenges. The forum also provided an understanding of the priority aspects of water that are common but often different from one region to another. Loic added that the entire regional process this session should be utilized to possibly collaborate and find the best solution to overcome water problems. In addition to the formula, the 10th World Water Forum has produced a ministerial declaration endorsed by participating countries. Deputy for Coordination of International Economic Cooperation of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Edi Priyo Pambudi, met Russian Deputy Minister of Economic Development, Dmitry Volfak, to discuss the ban on export of Indonesian coconut products to Russia. Quoted by Antara in a statement in Jakarta on Thursday, Edi stated that Indonesia regrets the decision to temporarily ban the export of Indonesian coconut products by Russia. He said that the Indonesian government has taken a number of corrective measures and asked Russia to lift the export ban. He viewed that in addition to the export of coconut products, both countries also discussed the acceleration of registration of several fish processing units in Indonesia that will enter the Russian market. Several collaborations were also discussed, including plans for cooperation in the halal field in the technology, infrastructure, and investment sectors. However, Dmitry Volfak said that he hoped Indonesia could consider the proposed export of Russian meat products that had been adjusted based on halal certification. Soldiers of the Indonesian and Indian navies conducted a joint patrol in the waters along the border of the two countries in the Malacca Strait from May 17 to 23. The information section of the Marine Security Force of the Indonesian Navy Fleet 1 Command in a press release, quoted by Antara, explained that both navies officially closed the patrol at the Navy Base Command Headquarters in Sabang Aceh on Thursday. In his remarks, Commander of the Indonesian Navy Fleet 1 Marine Security Force, First Admiral Anung Sutanto, hoped that the joint patrol could improve the capabilities and experience of the Indian and Indonesian navies. The joint patrol, which is held regularly every year, aims to ensure that the waters around the Andaman Sea and the Malacca Strait remain safe from disturbances, such as piracy and smuggling of people and goods, such as drugs. Indonesia and India shared a water area of approximately 300 nautical miles in the Malacca Strait and the Andaman Sea. Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan and Italian Ambassador to Indonesia, Timor Leste and ASEAN Benedetto Letteri discussed opportunities for Indonesian export to Europe through the ports of Genova and Trieste. In his statement, as quoted by Antara Thursday, Minister Zulkifli Hasan said that the advantages of Indonesia exporting through the two ports are its position as an entrance to Central and Eastern Europe. The utilization of export routes through the two ports is expected to increase Indonesia's trade with the European Union and Italy in particular. He also asked for Italy's support to complete the negotiation for the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Meanwhile, Ambassador Letteri said that the Italian government, together with private parties in Italy, offer technical solutions for Indonesia's leading export products such as palm oil and coffee affected by the European Union's deforestation policy. One of the innovations offered is a certification scheme to ensure compliance with the policy requirements. Let's move on to the international news, where the International Court of Justice, ICJ, will deliver a court order regarding the request for additional provisional measures for Israel in the genocide case on Friday. Quoted by Anadolu, the UN's top court on Thursday stated that the public hearing will take place at 15 or 20 hundred hours GMT at the Peace Palace in The Hague. Judge Nawaf Salam, president of the court, will read out the court's order. Last week, the International Court of Justice held a two-day hearing to discuss additional provisional measures against Israel. The hearing concluded with the court requesting Israel to provide information on the humanitarian conditions existing in the designated evacuation zone in the Gaza Strip. More than 35,600 Palestinians have been killed, most of them women and children, and nearly 79,900 injured since last October. Legislators in Kosovo on Thursday ratified an agreement to lease 300 prison cells to Denmark to help reduce overcrowding in the Scandinavian country's prisons. According to the AFP, under the deal, Kosovo will receive payments of about 200 million euros or $3.4 trillion of the next decade, which will help improve government prisons and finance renewable energy projects. According to the agreement, Danish terrorism and war crimes prisoners, as well as prisoners with mental illnesses, will not be sent to Kosovo. The Danish Justice Ministry also confirmed the agreement. Justice Minister Peter Hummelgaard said the agreement helped restore balance to the Danish prison system. The prospective prisoners will be sent to a prison in the town of Gijlan, about 50 kilometers from Kosovo's capital Pristina. Israeli military forces launched an airstrike on Fatima al-Zahra Mosque in northern Gaza City, Palestine, on Thursday. Qatari media Al Jazeera reported that at least 16 people were killed, including 10 children, in the brutal attack. The Israeli Defense Forces IDF began the invasion of Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip on May 7, 2024. They also took over the Rafah border post with Egypt on the Gaza side. Later, Israeli media reported that the War Cabinet of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had approved the expansion of the ground operation in Rafah. Israeli authorities argued that the operation was aimed at eliminating the remaining Hamas battalions in the Gaza Strip. Since tensions in the Gaza Strip flared up on October 7, 2023, nearly 1,200 Israelis and more than 35,000 Palestinian civilians have died. Listen, and now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on pros and cons of Prime Minister Netanyahu's arrest warrant. Norway has become the first European country to announce that it will arrest Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant if a warrant is issued by a panel of judges at the International Criminal Court, ICC. Norwegian Foreign Minister Espen Barth Eide said earlier this week that they would be arrested if they entered Norwegian territory. Previously, Attorney General of the International Criminal Court, Karim Khan, had submitted arrest warrants against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, Hamas Political Bureau Chief Ismail Haniyeh, Hamas Military Wing Chief Mohammed Diab Ibrahim Masri, and Hamas leader in the Gaza Strip, Yahya Sinwar. The decision to issue the warrant rests with three International Criminal Court judges who will assess the evidence presented by Khan's office. The French government, in its official statement, said it supports the International Criminal Court, particularly its independence and its fight against impunity in all situations. France also said it had been warning for months about the need for strict compliance with the international humanitarian law, in particular about the unacceptable level of civilian casualties in the Gaza Strip and the lack of humanitarian access. Meanwhile, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin, in a routine press conference in Beijing, China last Tuesday, emphasized China's support for the international community's efforts to resolve the Palestinian issue in a complete, just, and sustainable manner. Wenbin hopes that the International Criminal Court will maintain an objective and fair position and carry out its duties according to its authority. He emphasized that collective punishment against the Palestinian people must not continue any longer. In contrast to the positions of France and Beijing, United States President Joe Biden firmly rejected the arrest proposal and called the International Criminal Court's decision outrageous and vowed to support Israel as the legal process progresses. Biden also criticized Prosecutor Khan's decision to equate the position of Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas. Three of its leaders are also on the list of requests for arrest warrants. The existence of pros and cons among major countries in the world will certainly make resolving the issue of Israel's occupation of the Gaza Strip more protracted. Regardless, the fact that more than 35,000 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 80,000 people have been injured since Israel attacked the Gaza Strip in October last year. Not to mention the huge material loss and the number of refugees who reach hundreds of thousands and are now threatened with starvation. It requires a common view and a high sense of humanity from the parties concerned to immediately stop the conflict in the Gaza Strip. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
all starts today in history with May 24, 1956. Eurovision Song Contest first held. The Eurovision Song Contest was first held in 1956 with 14 participating countries. The final round of the contest was held in Lugano, Switzerland on May 24, 1956. The song refrained by Swiss singer Liz Asia was named the winner of the first Eurovision Song Contest. Moving on to May 24, 1989, Sudirman Cup was held for the first time. The Sudirman Cup is an international badminton championship for mixed team event participated in by member countries of the Badminton World Federation every 2 years. This championship competes in men's single, women's single, men's doubles, women's doubles, and mixed doubles. The name Sudirman is taken from the name of Indonesian badminton figure Dick Sudirman. He is one of the founders of the All Indonesian Badminton Association. The Sudirman Cup was initiated by Indonesia in 1986 and was first held at Istora Senayan in Jakarta from 24 to 29, 1989. At the championship, Indonesia managed to emerge as champions, beating South Korea with a score of 3-2. I will end today in history with May 24, 2002. The United States and Russia signed the Moscow Treaty. The Strategic Offensive Reductions Treaty, also known as the Moscow Agreement, is an agreement signed in Moscow, Russia on May 24, 2002 between the United States and Russia. In this agreement, both sides agreed to limit their nuclear arsenals to between 1,700 and 2,200 operationally deployed warhead each. The Moscow Treaty is one of the series of agreements on joint nuclear disarmament between the United States and Russia, along with its predecessor, the Soviet Union. It came into effect from June 2003 to February 2011 when a new agreement called START, or Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, entered into force. That's today in history.
ada tempatnya meriang lain. Izinkanlah ku sekali lagi untuk melangkah menyusuri hati yang dulu pernah kau persembahkan untukku kekasih. Kali ini untuk selamanya ku kembali. Izinkanlah ku sekali lagi. Izinkanlah ku sekali lagi untuk melangkah menyusuri hati yang dulu pernah kau persembahkan untukku kekasih. Cinta lama kita akan bersemi, kita bersemi abadi.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Industry Ministry holds coconut processing training for Caribbean countries. The Indonesia Ministry Health Capacity Improvement Training about Coconut Product Processing Diversification for conference representatives in the Caribbean island. The training was held on May 21st until June 4th, 2024 at ATI Polytechnic in Padang, West Sumatra. The training was joined by 19 participants of the Caribbean countries, namely Barbados, Cuba, Grenada, Guyana, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Suriname, and the Bahamas. As quoted by Antara, Industry Minister Agung Gumiwang in Jakarta Wednesday said the coconut industry in Indonesia have a great potential and has been proven to successfully produce coconut processed products with high quality. That, according to the minister, makes Indonesia attracts lots of other countries about the processing management. The industry minister also said the industry ministry keeps encouraging coconut commodity downstreaming because it has abundant potential in Indonesia. Therefore, currently the coconut downstreaming roadmap for integrated coconut ecosystem develop is being prepared. The industry minister also said in the coconut downstreaming program, the industry manpower for related sector is a key factor for the success. Therefore, with capacity building along with other countries, Indonesia joins in the global industry development. Meanwhile, the head of Industry Manpower Development Agency, Mas Rokan, explained that 19 participants from the Caribbean countries will learn about processed products from coconut like coconut oil, nata de coco, and coconut milk. The participants will also be acknowledged about quality control, food security, standardization, and packaging. According to him, the program is the commitment of the industry ministry in developing national industry by providing the component industrial manpower, while sharing knowledge and skills to friendly countries in strengthening the role of Indonesia on a global level.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. At the welcoming dinner of the 10th World Water Forum last Sunday, President Joko Widodo and heads of state or representatives wore jointly clothes from Sintang, Kalimantan woven fabric. This fabric is known for its distinctive smoothness of materials and manufacturing methods that maintain traditional values inspired by the surrounding environment, such as rivers, animals, and plants. The making of Sintang woven fabrics also uses traditional looms with yarn materials and dyes from natural materials such as leaves, roots, fruits, or plant seeds in the forest. To produce beautiful motifs, this woven fabric is produced over 3 months. Listener, the Indonesian ministers and ministerial delegates also wore Balinese endek cloth. Endek cloth is a traditional weaving made by using the ikat weaving system by tying weave and wrap threads. Therefore, this fabric is also often known as tenun ikat Bali. Endek comes from the word gendekan or ngendek, that means silent, fixed or not changing color. The word describes the making of endek motifs by tying. When dyed, the tied thread doesn't change color. Today, endek fabric making has followed up the times by utilizing airbrush technology. This breakthrough in the world of weaving is able to shorten the production preparation process for 2 to 4 working days without reducing the quality of endek woven fabrics. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Bali, the most attractive tourist destination for the summer of 2024. With a combination of natural beauty, mountain adventure, rich culture, and vibrant nightlife, Bali in Indonesia offers an unforgettable experience for all types of travelers. Bali has made the list of the top 10 most attractive summer travel destinations for June to August 2024. The list was released by the MasterCard Economics Institute based on flight booking data. Munich, Germany tops the list as the host of the UEFA Euro 2024 soccer tournament in June, resulting in an increase in flight bookings. Bali ranked as the sixth most attractive hot 2024 travel destination after Munich, Tokyo, Tirana, Nice, and Cancun. According to the report, Bali is among the top three destinations for travelers from the Philippines and Malaysia. In addition, tourists from Australia, South Korea, and Japan also chose Bali as an attractive destination during the upcoming summer. Listener, meanwhile, Bangkok, Kerkira, Frankfurt, and Oranjestad rank in the top 10 after Bali. Bali is not only about its natural beauty, but also about its cultural and historical heritage. Tourists can visit ancient temples scattered throughout the island, such as Besakih Temple, which is considered the largest Hindu shrine in Bali. Traditional Balinese dances, such as Kecak Dance and Barong Dance, can also be enjoyed, introducing to the visitors the beauty of Balinese performing arts. Bali is also known for its colorful nightlife. From pulsating nightclubs in the Seminyak area to lively beach parties in Kuta, there is something unique for every taste in Bali at night. Well, listener, that's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a original song from West Java entitled Mojang Priangan, composed by Iyar Wiyarsi and popularized by Nining Meida in 1988. The lyrics of the song, literally titled Gadis Priangan, tells the story of a woman from West Java who is not only beautiful but also has good manners. This song describes how the behavior and dress of Priangan girls are beautiful and simple, making people who glance at them even more fascinated. Here is Mojang Priangan, sung by Azmi Z. Enjoy the song. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Maaf, ku telah menyakitimu. Ku telah kecewakanmu. Bahkan, ku sia-siakan hidupku. Dan ku bawa kau seperti diriku. Walau hati ini terus menangis, menahan kesakitan ini. Tapi kulakukan semua demi cinta. Akhirnya juga harus ku kehilangan cinta sejatiku. Segalanya telah ku berikan, juga semua kekuranganku. Jika memang ini yang terbaik untuk diri dan dirinya, kan ku terima semua demi cinta. Jujur, aku tak kuasa saat terakhir.
Listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.